Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, all my soldier brains. Are you standing at attention today? I hope so. We have a wife here, an ex-spouse, a woman of courage. She had to endure the loss of her husband being a victim and a casualty of war. She's here to tell us her story and her own story of being a nurse practitioner and an adjunct professor, a mother of two, and a beautiful woman and a beautiful soul, and how she wants to work with victims in this population to help them be able to express themselves through group coaching. So please, brains, help me welcome our guest today, Ms. Matero, Ronisa Matero. Hello, baby. Welcome to the Edge.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad to have you. Now, you have to be sure to introduce yourself to my brains, so you got to call them brains every now and then. They like that.
Okay.
Welcome you into the family. So you have a very, very compelling story, and I want to kind of weave in and out of it. So tell me a little bit about your husband and what branch of service he was in.
Chris was in the Air Force. He was a combat controller, which is a division of the Special Forces for the Air Force. There's only a handful of those. He spent most of his time being deployed. As you know, Special Forces, they're always traveling. So he was gone for the good part of the year, usually. The kids and I saw him here or there, but he was always training, always gone somewhere, trying to make a difference.
So making that difference makes an impact, because I know several, I live here in San Diego, and I know several SEALs and SEALs families, and they go through a very rigorous endurance and stimulation and separation from the family. And so how did that kind of wear on you and wear on the psyche and the family overall?
Well, it was difficult. We had two small children, and I was, you know, going to school full-time and working, trying to finish up my nurse practitioner degree while he was gone. So I did have a lot of stress and just trying to take care of the kids. We didn't live close to any family because we were stationed in North Carolina at Pope Air Force Base for 4 years when I was going to school, finishing my degree at Duke University.
And so, the constant moving of military families, you know.
Yes.
It is. And so there's a lot of demand on the wife to kind of hold it all together. Why you have a soldier on the battlefield, especially Special Forces.
Yes,
so tell us about what happened to your husband.
Chris was deployed after 9/11. He went to Afghanistan and spent from October till March in Afghanistan. He came home for a month to see us, and then he was deployed again in May. But instead of going back to Afghanistan, he decided to go to Puerto Rico to help support the South SOC in protecting our southern borders. So in May, he left again. And in August, he died in a plane crash just 2 weeks before he was supposed to come back home. So we were looking forward to him coming home. Of course, as you know, my kids were, my son had just turned 5 and my daughter was 7. So we were making plans because he was getting ready to go to OCS to become an officer. He had just completed his criminal justice degree. So looking, you know, into the future and becoming an officer so that he wouldn't have to be gone so much of the time. He could stay home a little bit more with us. He had just gone into Air National Guard so that he could stay home more with us. And then, of course, that's when September 11th happened and everything changed.
Wow.
And
the missions are always so secretive. You know, they think just because you're the spouse, you know, they don't let you know exactly what's going on. They can't. Covert operations. What did my husband used to say when he was in the Navy? Baby, loose lips sink ships.
Yep. That is true.
So they can't
I
let
there
that
were times
out.
I didn't know. Exactly.
Yeah, and you're just glad to hear it.
Yeah.
So I hate to take you back to that dreadful moment, but tell me, you know, when you got the call, or did you have the unfortunate arrival of two military officers come to your door and tell you what had happened to your husband?
Well, actually, I was getting ready for work. I was upstairs, and Bree and Dante, which are my children, come running upstairs, and they're like, "Mommy, Mommy, there are people from Daddy's work here." And of course, in the military, it's very a tight-knit group, so when others are deployed, you know, some of the other members would come over and help me do yard work or things like that that I might have needed. And I was trying to think, did I have something scheduled for today? But I couldn't remember anything, you know. So
right.
I went to the top of the stairs, and I was looking down at the stairs, and there's a little window in our door. And I could see several men standing there in their dress blues, which is So at that moment, my heart kind of sank, and I was just going down the stairs, and I was like, no, they're not here to tell me what I think they're here to tell me. So by the time I got down to the bottom of the stairs and opened the door, they all just put their heads down, and I knew at that moment that Chris wasn't coming home. So, yeah, it was I was kind of, you know, just standing there in denial and just looking at them, and they just said the plane that Chris was on is missing. They didn't know for sure what had happened at that time. So it wasn't for 3 days that they came back to tell me officially that my husband was gone, because during a plane crash, you know, there are so many things that happen. They had to do DNA is what it boiled down to. So,
right. Wow.
So yeah, there was 3 days of, praying and praying and asking God for just to bring him home no matter what.
I know. Unimaginable. It is unimaginable. How did that feel to tell the children? How did you break it to them?
Well, I took the kids out on the front porch. It was in the morning time. They were getting ready to go back to school, so they were hanging out with the neighbor's kids. So I had called them over to the house, and we sat down on the front step, and I just told them. I said, you know, Daddy's gone a lot. But this time he's not going to be coming home, because he's gone home to live with Jesus, you know. So they, of course, they immediately were like, you know, no, you know, we want Daddy and this and that. So it was a really difficult moment. They cried, and I cried, of course. But they understood what going to be with Jesus meant. So they knew that he was not coming home to us anymore.
Wow. So you said that you weren't living close to family, so now you have to re-engage your life as well as go through some of the most trying and emotional challenges that you could face. I mean, the spontaneous death of your husband. I want to hear a little bit about that transition and kind of some of the things that you went through, but then also how you put all this information inside the book.
Yes, Well, I was in denial for a long time, and I was angry. I was angry at God for taking him from me. And so, you know, I have one saving grace. My mom, bless her heart, she came and lived with me for 2 months after Chris died to help me with the kids. And I don't know that I would have made it without her, just because I was just so distraught and so upset, and I was still working, you know, full-time trying to take care of the children. And the support from the neighbors and the people around was amazing. They sent meals to my house every night. I mean, for like 2 months, there were meals that came to my house, which was a lifesaver, from different restaurants around the area.
Wow.
That family and friends had sent. And that made a big difference. I will never forget that. It was amazing. So I just tried to give myself a little time, you know, every day to cry. My kids really got to the point where they were asking me not to cry anymore. So I knew that I needed to be strong for them. So I decided that I needed to just focus on my children and raise them to the best of my ability.
How did the military treat you?
How
did the military treat you as far as...
You know, they were amazing. I can't say anything bad about the military and how they treated us.
Great.
They actually, actually for probably 2 weeks, they had assigned me a person to help me. So
like a grief
that
counselor?
Was there to help me. Well, no, it was actually one of the guys in Chris's squadron named John.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was one of his cohort, you know, colleagues, and he was just there to help us. You know, if I needed him to pick up the kids or anything like that, he's just like, I'm here to help you do whatever you need. So
right.
That made me feel really good to know that he was there and he was willing to help me do whatever I needed. And the people in the survivor benefits, they were really good too. They had counselors, they had chaplains, although I never really took advantage of those.
And without going into too much detail, I'm asking mm-hmm. this question because there's a lot of military brains here in San Diego mm-hmm. that listen to me all over the world, Japan, Tokyo, shout out to you guys. But I want them to kind of, every situation is different, but financially, mm-hmm. do they take care of you that way? Do they take care of, like, benefits for you and your children? Was there, outside of the military service, was there, you know, outside of the camaraderie there, the mechanics of what happens when you lose someone like that, is that a difficult chain of events?
They try to make it pretty seamless, flawless, I guess you would will, if you say. They have mm-hmm. steps that you take. They have people that are available to you to talk to you. Okay. They, you know, yes, they help you pay for the funeral. They set up the benefits for the children and for me. So they got all that set up for me. So they really stepped up and took care of us to try to get that taken care of for me.
That's good. That's good to know because I know there's been situations that when I worked here on the military base, I just kind of give an overview of a situation. A young man went into the service and he was in, I guess, maybe 9 months. About five years, five months. He got a reenlistment bonus. And he came back, and he was an amputee, and he wasn't able to complete his tour of duty. So his monies and benefits were modified against that. So I asked this question not to be judgmental, but to let people be aware that even with insurance policies, it used to be where if someone was in the military and they retired after 20 years, they died, their spouse would automatically get right of survivorship. That's not the case. You have to pay insurance on that. You got to know where you qualify in relationship to Social Security. So I interject to give you key critical information and fact-finding when you know this because, again, you're a soldier. Your job is to protect and serve and shoot guns and play war games. It's not to, you know, make widgets. So we have to be aware of that when we have spouses in these military tours of duty, be it at sea or in the air. It's very important that we know what our benefits are. So thank you so much for letting me interject on that. So now you are a woman of your own right and your own talents. Please tell us what you do in the medical world.
I'm a family nurse practitioner. I've been a family nurse practitioner for 20 years. The last 15 years, I've spent mostly in the emergency room and urgent care setting. I finished my doctorate in nursing in 2016, so I also teach at three universities and as an adjunct
wow.
professor in their doctoral nursing programs. So I try to stay busy with that.
Well, you are busy. That's smart.
Really smart. Well, and that's
and
been
so
one of
you
my coping mechanisms.
And you currently practice
so.
As well, too. How mm-hmm. old are your children now?
Brianna is 24, and Dante just turned 22 in July.
So. Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So you decided to write a book. Doing all of this work with the colleges, with nursing, having your own practice, and dealing with this grief, you found time to write a book. Please tell us about what's in the pages of It Takes Courage.
It Takes Courage stemmed after Dante, my youngest son, left home in 2016. I found myself realizing, or in my mind, my mind was telling me you lost everything that you had of Chris. So I went into this very unfortunate period of grief and depression, like, it all just came back to me because I thought I had lost everything I had of him when he left home. And that sent me into a period of self-discovery again to try to figure out who I am and what do I do now and what is my purpose in this world. for years I had wanted to write a book, but I just never took the time because I was just so focused on raising my children.
Right.
So at that time I decided I wanted to, I want to help other widows. I want to help other widows in the military, or really any young mother. I was 30 years old with a 5 and a 7-year-old to raise. I didn't know what to do. I was scared to death. I was afraid. I was worried I wouldn't be able to raise them by myself. I mean, there's so many worries that come up, so many challenges that come up,
right,
just being young and, you know, expecting your life to be one way, and then all of a sudden it's a different way. You know, it turns
right
out that in a split second, my life was turned upside down. We had just bought the house, our dream home. I was finally, you know, completed all of my college that I was going to finish. And so our life had just come together, and then boom, it's all turned upside down. So it is life. And you're right. And that's kind of what you have to look at it is, okay, so life is ever changing, right? Nothing stays the same, but I wrote this
book.
But
I'm a firm believer in the old saying, to whom much is given, much is required. And you gave the ultimate sacrifice, you know, your husband.
Mm-hmm.
But you've gained so much. You still have a rich family. You still have gorgeous looks and a long flowing hair and a beautiful smile. Do you think that you'll ever fall in love again?
I think there is love after losing a spouse, yes. And that's part of finding joy and happiness in your life again. It took me a long time to even open up to the fact that I would want to find someone else, because I unfortunately would compare everybody to Chris, and nobody can ever measure up to him.
Can I ask you a question? Is that and I'm just asking this ambiguously, do you feel that there's like a sense of obligation in that emotion? Does that make sense, the question I'm asking? You feel like that's your duty?
Yes, I feel like I feel like he took part of me with him. He did. He took part of my heart with him. So I guess all these years I've thought, well, if I stop hurting, then I'm going to forget him. And when you're grieving, you don't ever want to forget the person that you gave your heart to. I mean, when you get married, it's to death do us part. Right, and even though he died, I still felt, I still feel that connection with him even today.
Right.
So,
well, you know, and I speak from an outsider's point of view, but I know that there is glory on the other side, and he is on a wing and a prayer. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to smile. You know, we don't have to feel the feels. We can feel them in different ways. You know, and people love us, and they want to embrace us, and they want us to just get back in the game. So I encourage you to seek that out, because you're a beautiful woman and you got so much to give, and enjoy the rest of your life with someone else. Chris would want that. I really think that he would want that for you. So please tell my brains how they can get a copy of your book, It Takes Courage, and if they need to contact you.
Okay. So the book is called It Takes Courage, The Young Widow's Guide to Grieving and Raising Children Alone. You can find me or more about me at my website, which is www.thecourageprocess.com. If you click on the menu, you'll have a drop-down menu. You can go to my book, and you can download a free PDF version of the book if you'd like to read it. It's called The Courage Process, because there's the process. What I wrote the book for was to just hopefully give some widows and young women or whoever some tips and tools to try to just get through those emotions as they come up, and to make their journey a little bit easier along their grief path.
Right.
So I pray that it helps people if they read it, if they want to contact me, or there's a tab that's contact me. I would be happy to get on the phone and talk with you and help you any way I can. So don't hesitate to get a hold of me.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. The book is, is so full of wisdom, and you really poured your heart. And thank you for being vulnerable and open enough to, you know, share with us here on The Edge. I really value you, and I really appreciate you. So please come
thank
back
you
to The Edge and keep us informed of what's going on. Any way we can support military families. You know how I am. Yep. I want to give it to you.
Yes,
okay?
Ma'am.
All right. Thank you so much, Renisa. You're the best.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. Bye, Brain.
Bye-bye. Bye.